Last week when we started this, I'm going to give you a little update, catch up, because not everybody was here, and some of the things I'm wanting to say I need to base on what I said last week. So put on your thinking caps again, okay? Lord, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for the clearness with which you've spoken to us through the hearts of many people. And we just want to say yes to who you are and what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. I gave my heart to the Lord in March of 1974, and something happened to me that I couldn't explain, really still can't explain. And I want to lay the problem, and then if we get to the answer, we do. If not, we'll get to the rest of the answer the next time. But we had in this little church that my wife grew up in, got saved in when she was 9, and behind my back, she conspired with people to pray me into the kingdom, totally without my permission. And I got saved, and before the week was over, several members of her family got saved. In this little church of about 120 people, I think we baptized 23 people that in a week. It was pretty cool. And anyway, her father came to the Lord after I did, and his brother and his brother's family. I mean, it was sweet. And I got baptized with a whole bunch of people on the same day. And something happened to me, and I just can't explain it. Something happened to me that it looks like didn't happen to some other people. I don't know how to say it any other way. And said, well, are you special? No, I'm just slow. But I've been battling this. Wes and I have talked about this a million times. James and I used to talk about this all the time. The purpose of the Holy Spirit coming into the life of an individual person is not just salvation, it's transformation. It's transformation. Transformation is, discipleship is not the purpose. Transformation is the purpose. Discipleship is one of the routes to transformation. Are you with me? It's a new life, it's a new person, it's a new character, new nature, right? And I think the biggest reason the church in the Western world isn't doing well, all the statistics are alarming, is because most people don't undergo transformation. You can throw things if you want to, make them soft so they don't hurt me. But I really think that's the case. So I'm going to back up a little bit and talk a little bit about what we talked last week, but I want to end up there if I can, because I think it's really, how should I say it? It has derailed the purpose of the Lord in a measure. Because the best advertisement for the kingdom of God is a transformed heart. And that's really true. Now, your question is, well, do I think I'm transformed? Well, you can ask my wife, I'm different than I used to be. Now, is that transformed? Well, you don't know how I used to be, so we'll just leave it at that. But something happened to me that changed my paradigm, changed my way of thinking, and I'm a long ways from being where anybody that's been walking with God as long as I have could be, but I'm not where I was. And it's puzzled me. I am in no way the measure of anything godly, okay? But something happened to me that he's the only explanation for. Hebrews chapter 11. Last week we talked about the Lord of the ages, and we looked in the scriptures and saw that many times where it says Jesus created the worlds or created the world, the word is actually age. 28 times that word is translated age. It's only 6 times translated world. So did he create the world, everything in it? Yes, of course he did, but he did more than that. He set apart the ages and everything that would happen in the ages. The Bible says that in the fullness of time, Jesus came. But that didn't end time, but it did complete an age, an era. Eon is the word in Greek. And so we have to live in this age with the knowledge of what has already happened in previous ages so that we don't make the same mistakes and so that we're cleared to get to the things this age holds for us. How many of you know people prayed for the Messiah for hundreds of years and he didn't come? Right? Why? Because the fullness of time hadn't come. When the fullness of time came, piece of cake. Guy prays for the Messiah and there he is the next day. This is great. God answered my prayer. People have been praying for hundreds of years. By faith, this is Hebrews 11, we understand that the worlds during successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which were visible. Hebrews 1:2. But in the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of his Son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things. Isn't that great? Also by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, and operated and arranged them in order. So when the Bible says he created the worlds, he created how this thing would come together and not fall apart, and the sequence in which things would take place. And so we'll get to this in a minute, but remember we looked at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, right? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. The idea of being, I went fast. That's as fast as I can go. But don't be conformed to this world. It's the age. Don't be conformed to the age in which you live, because there's another king and another kingdom, and we're born out of that age and born into that kingdom. And we much more resemble the age in which we live than the age into which we were born. Again, how am I doing? Am I making sense? I'm going really fast here. So the idea is, if we were born during this time frame, we're born into another kingdom. Jesus told told Pilate, "Oh, I'm a king, but my kingdom isn't of this world. It's not of this age. I have a kingdom to come. I'd snap you guys up like that, but that's not what's supposed to happen, right?" And so, the key, the big thing that I said last week, that you didn't know was the big key, maybe, but the big key was, the only way we can accomplish the purposes of God in this age is to live by the power of the age to come. What I really said was, the only way we can live and fulfill the purposes of God in this age is to live by the power of the age to come. Amen. Hebrews 6, which that's crazy. If I open that up now, we'll be here for the next decade. But it says, if you've tasted the good word and tasted the power of the age to come, well, I'll go read it. Trying to save time, but I'm bumping around on your outline because most of this is review, okay? So, but how it describes being a Christian in Hebrews 6, it says, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity. Aha, maturity. See, maturity comes through transformation. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, or of instructions about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead. And this we will do if God permits, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, and made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. He's describing what happens to people when they get saved. What happens? They've been enlightened, they've tasted of the heavenly gift, they've been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, they tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Why would we be introduced to the powers of the age to come if we weren't also to be equipped and empowered to live by the power of the age to come? Right? See, we're born of the Spirit, born by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of the age to come. Right? And when Jesus came, did he not move in the power of the age to come? Yes. In fact, he said, here's the key, Matthew 4:17. The kingdom of God is near. Wow. The kingdom of God is near. How did we know that? Because the king was standing right there. When the presence of the king is sensed, then it's a breakthrough of the kingdom of God. This is the power of the age to come. Right? So when people inexplicably get healed or delivered from a demon, or miraculously provided for financially, what's that? That's a breakthrough of the power of the age to come. Right? Isn't it? Well, why can't we live that way all the time? We're going to. Just not today. Because he has come and he is coming. He hasn't come back yet. Have you noticed he didn't come back yet? We wouldn't be praying for President Trump today if Jesus was the king of the earth. Right? Just saying. So this idea of the power of the age to come is a significant thing. You're messing with my notes here. So Jesus, in his temptation, in Luke 4 or in Matthew, says that the enemy led Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain. It's the word for authority. And its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I can give it to whomever I wish. We talked about that a little bit last week. How did that happen? The devil tells Jesus, I don't believe in the devil. Then you're going to have a real problem because Jesus talked to him. He does not talk to apparitions. Right? I didn't say Episcopalians, I said apparitions. Just get us on paper here. But Jesus spoke to him. He didn't speak to a non-entity. There's a real personal devil, there really is. Jesus spoke to him. And the devil said to him, I got it all. You can have it, but you got to bow and worship me. And Jesus didn't say, man, you're a liar. You don't have anything. He knew he was the Lord of this earth. He was the king of this empire. And he had those to give. And he said, I'll give them to you, but you got to worship me. And Jesus said, it is written, right? That's how he answered. But the devil had all of the domain, the right to do that. But Jesus didn't take it from him. He just went and took it for us, and then he went and took the keys to it, as Billy told us. Right? So here's the problem. He doesn't have that domain anymore, but we live like he does. Hello? So Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's what the Bible says in 1 John. What's his purpose? He came on purpose to destroy the works of the devil. What I've put in your outline, I'm just trying to get to where I'm going as quick as I can, is this. How can we free people from the dominion of the enemy if we're still fighting it ourselves? Hello? Yeah, that's serious stuff, isn't it? It ends better than this. Okay, I mean, we'll get... But that's the issue. That's why transformation is such an issue in our lives. Because when that happens to us, and it's both an event and a process, we don't have to live under the domain of the enemy anymore. We don't. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm skipping some really good stuff. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. I love this. First time I saw this, I thought, I bet everybody is glad this isn't written in their yearbook. I actually found my class prophecy from, I graduated in 1969. I was a prodigy, I was 11. And I'd forgotten about this, but you know, they give it a little thing, so-and-so will do this and so-and-so will do that. And I was supposed to win the Nobel Prize for poetry. Yeah, that ain't gonna happen. but I have written a couple. So what's written in your yearbook? Here's what the enemy has written in your yearbook. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Born dead. I did this for a while. I preached this verse on Memorial Day weekend. Every weekend. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. There is a course for the world. You ever been in a corn maze? You ever seen those things they do? Yeah, that's kind of what this is. And you know what? You get in and you have a hard time getting your way out. But there's a course for this world. What is it? It doesn't matter. As long as it's not the kingdom of God, the enemy doesn't care. You can be the most kind, philanthropic, lovely, polite person on the face of the earth, but if you're not headed for heaven, if I can say this, he doesn't give a damn what you're doing. Because you're going to end up where he is. There's a course of this age and a course of this world, and he operates it according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience, and among them too we all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We are born into this physical world spiritually dead. Now, why are you talking about this? Because people don't get it. People are under the domain of the enemy, and don't know it. They said, among them too, we all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, now God knows we were dead and he loved us anyway. He made us alive together, newness of life. I heard that several times today, newness of life. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus. We are already in Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father. What's that? That is the very source and central place of the power of the age to come. Who do we pray to? Sitting on that throne who controls the powers of the age to come. How did Jesus say to pray? My kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The answer to Jesus' prayer is us living in the power of the age to come in this age. I'm trying to normalize this as much as I can. But transformation is the normal state of the born-again life. It is. And we've got to normalize, or we're nominalized. And when we're nominalized, we're neutered. And when we're neutered, we don't save life and we don't reproduce life. It's a lot of ends, but it's true. So, Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to get there if I'm not careful. Verse 12. This is coming into the middle of a sentence, but he's saying, we're giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now listen to me. If he's qualified you, you don't have to qualify.
That's right.
And if you've qualified you, you're going to play heck disqualifying you.
That's right.
Because he's qualified you for an inheritance of the saints in light. He sees you as one who lives in light. Well, I've said some dark things. I've done some dark things. He says he has an inheritance for you because he's birthed you into the kingdom of light. Light and life. Right? Now, you got to get this, because the enemy will do everything he can to drop the shades on you and make you feel like you are only in darkness. Doesn't work that way. But it's like this. The next verse says he's transferred us out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And you ever transfer on a bus? You get off of this bus and you get onto that one. Well, you know what? If you stay on this one, you ain't going where that one's going. But if you have an attitude and a disposition of life and a perspective that you gained on this bus, and you take it to this bus, you're going to end up someplace different. But your paradigm and your attitude and your posture of life aren't going to change very much on your journey. I'm preaching now. This is what happens to people. They're aware of transfer, but they haven't cooperated with transformation. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, first of all, he says you have an inheritance in the saints in light, and now he says you have redemption. So, is that darkness? No. You have forgiveness of sins. Is that darkness? No, but we get tricked into thinking we haven't changed because our behavior speaks to us louder than his sacrifice. Amplified says it this way. This is really good. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, wow, in light. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So, if you went to some, if I go to John here, and poor John's on the front row, but we're friends, And John's not a Christian, and I'm worried about John. I've been praying about John, and I would say, John, you know what? God needs to deliver you and draw you to himself and get you out of the control and dominion of darkness. And he would look at you like, leave me alone, you freak. What are you talking about? Nobody out there thinks they're under the dominion of darkness and that the answer is to be transferred into the kingdom of his dear son. They aren't aware of the domain of darkness that is on their life. Now listen to me, don't get mad. People get transferred, and people are just as clueless about being under the domain of the kingdom of light and love and forgiveness that is in Jesus as they were unaware of being under the domain of darkness. You don't get this until the Holy Spirit quickens you and you're convicted, and all of a sudden you go, oh my God, I am separated from God. Now you get over here. You're not separated anymore. But are we joined? Are we enjoying the power and the presence and the ongoing transformative touch of God in our life? This is the battle. This is, and if not, I got to read you another verse. Can I just do this? It's save time. But this is the dilemma. Transferred, but not transformed. Does that make sense on that, on the transfer thing? See, people are over here. If you go tell people, do you know you were born dead? What? Don't tell them that, by the way. If you want to have your final conversation with someone, tell them that. But you pray for them because they were born dead and they don't know it. Haven't you ever gone to someone that's still fighting, smoking, and said, I don't want you to die of cancer? I mean, huh? Because we know what might happen, and we're concerned about you. We care for you. This is why we intercede for people, because they're born dead and don't know it. They've never been alive with the life of God, so they don't know there's any other way to be alive. We do. Like I've told you this several times, but I was got up one morning to go to the Saturday morning prayer meeting. This is a long time ago. You know, I started that prayer meeting a million years ago, and now here I am having to go to it, you know. I was really tired and grumpy and everything, and the Lord just kind of did this to me. He says, what is with you? You're alive from the dead.
That's right.
You're alive with the life of God. Get your carcass out of bed. And I did. See, because we're unaware of it, there's an inbred unawareness to the atmosphere in which we're living. We think we're free to do whatever we want. We're following the course of the world. And as long as we're not following Jesus, we are free to do whatever he wants us to do, because he doesn't care. Ruin your life in any pattern you so desire. Really? Huh?
Yeah.
But that's not how it's supposed to be. That's just not how it's supposed to be. I'm going to read to you. Which way I want to go? I'll read this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is, man, when I saw this the first time, it just fried my fritters. I thought, really? He says, I fed you with milk, not solid food. You weren't strong enough to be ready for it, but even yet you're not strong enough to be ready for it. Now he's writing to the Corinthian church. These are saved people. It's the church at Corinth. For you are still unspiritual, of the flesh, under the control of ordinary impulses. Oh, I was just talking to somebody about ordinary impulses, being human. Sickening. For as long as there are envying and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and acting like mere unchanged men? Paul just can't possibly believe it. He's had a hand in these people coming to Jesus, and now they're acting like they never got changed. But he knew they got changed. They knew they got changed. But when you're operating only by the five senses, right? The flesh, that's going to produce a result that's not going to really work. And when we live that way amongst people of this age, they don't think there is a change. They don't think there is a power of an age to come, because if there were, why wouldn't it be changing you in the now? Hello? This is kind of convicting, isn't it? This is an open door. This is liberation. we're talking about here. Because Paul's looking at those guys and saying, no, 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 no. You've already had happen to you what needed to have happened to you. Quit letting this happen to you. Huh? Don't live like mere people, mere humans. Spirit of God is in you. And that's what he's trying to say. Come on, guys. Right? Spirit of Jesus is in you. He makes a difference. He makes a difference. I used to use this example. I have to change it. Patrick Mahomes. Okay? Let's say that there was a can of Kate Upton juice on the table and a can of Patrick Mahomes juice. And any girl could come up and drink the Kate Upton juice. And you'd become just like Kate Upton. For most of the ladies, that would be a sudden change. And if you took the Pat Mahomes juice and drank it, would your life be different? 50 touchdowns. And the most valuable player, he's getting money from ketchup companies and eyeglass companies. I mean, he's got the world by the tail. You get the Spirit of God in you, and you think nothing happens, and you're not going to change? You think Jesus wouldn't do more to you than Kate Upton or Pat Mahomes? Come on, I'm sorry, but no, I'm not. Okay, Lord, what needs to happen then? Help me digest what has taken place. I want the fullness of your... Show me, touch me. Do things in me that you want to do. Empower me to have things happen through me that you want to happen. Does that make any sense? I know, I hope I probably woke the babies up. But this is it's just like, I know this is real. I know it's true. And Paul is going, guys, I don't know what to tell you. You already believe, come on. Right? And so he says, you're acting like mere men. No wonder people treat you like mere men. You're acting like humans who haven't been changed yet. Oh, well, that's not good. What do we do about that? Romans 12. I'll read it to you from two verses. Man, I'm good. It's, therefore, I urge you, brethren and sister, by the mercy of, I don't want to leave ladies out. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And don't be conformed to this age, this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove what the good will, perfect, acceptable will of God is. Let me read it to you from the Weiss translation. Weiss was the head of the Greek department at Moody Bible Institute, not a flaming charismatic or Pentecostal. Moody. I therefore beg you, please, brothers, through the instrumentality of the aforementioned mercies of God, by a once-for-all presentation to place your bodies at the disposal of God, a sacrifice, a living one, a holy one, well-pleasing, our rational, sacred service. Rational in that this service is performed by the exercise of your mind. And stop assuming on outward expression that does not come from within and is not representative of what you are in your inner being, but is patterned after this age. But change your outward expression to one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being by the renewing of your mind, resulting in your putting to the test what is the will of God, the good, well-pleasing, complete will, having found it, that it meets specifications, and placing your approval on it. Wow. How does this work? It's you and me having a living relationship with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and the Spirit of God using the Word of God to change us from the inside out. And our expression of life in the external, rising up out of the reality of this imperishable seed, the Word of God by which we've been born again, and the Holy Spirit quickening that Word to explain and express it through us, so we touch others with newness of life. Whew. Man, that's good. Now, this is the ongoing act of transformation. Now, transformation can happen like that. Mount of Transfiguration, right? Matthew 17, isn't it? Jesus, like they've known him in 1 minute, next thing, cloud comes, a little thunder and lightning, and all of a sudden he's transfigured in front of them, an external expression of an internal reality. And the word there for transfigured is the same one for transformation in the Bible. It's the same word. You could call it the Mount of Transfiguration or the Mount of Transformation. I didn't get there in time to write. I did use transformation. But transfiguration means I have been refigured on the inside, and now what's really on the inside is expressing itself on the outside. And all Peter could do was go, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Holy moly, let's build three temples and we'll stay right here. And that's what he said. And Jesus said, no, I want you to know that this is who I really am. If you could see past my exterior, and you'd know what we're going to do is walk down the hill, because this is what they did. They're going to walk down the hill, and every person they see, tell, or touch is going to get saved, healed, and delivered, because that's the power of the age to come invading this space and this age and this time. Amen. He said, so, you just see Peter said, and the Lord just goes, shh, chill. And he says, don't talk. He really did. I know what it's like for him to tell me that, and I know Peter had gone through the same thing. But we were to do a construct for this one-time breakthrough that we saw. And Jesus said, no, this is how we live our life. Come on, let's go where the people are. And we'll give away what you just saw. Only to look like salvation and deliverance and healing. Because that's what's in here. Because that's who the Spirit of God is in me. Isn't that cool? See, that is transformation. So they saw it happen instantaneously. What had to freak them out is that he reversed it. And the inside went back inside and the outside came back outside. And he was Jesus as they knew him again. But when something happened, they knew it was the internal reality. Right? And so we've been discussing some on Wednesday nights about what's it like to be a good person. And we just couldn't find one to anybody to explain it to us. So that was pretty good, actually. But see, religion's role is to try to teach you to do enough things to become a good person. And the Spirit of God says, work with me, and I'll make you a good person, and you'll do the kind of things a good person does. Oh, that's different, isn't it? See, the church in the Western world has for too long tried to push and push and push people to do the things that are the right thing to do so somebody will get convinced that that's what you're like. And the Lord says, no, why don't you let me write on your heart? Why don't you let me do something, change you from the inside out? And you'll inhale and exhale. You'll automatically do the things. What did Jesus say? Oh, I always do those things that please the Father. I hate that verse. I told him that. I said, what? In fact, his ink amplified said, I always only do those things that please the Father. And I say, you know, once or twice a week, maybe. My record's not as good. But he's in me to always want to do the things that please the Father. So we've got a chance if we're aware, right? But we live as unaware of the Lord wanting to produce this life in us as we were unaware that we were following the course of this world. Did anybody, when you graduated from high school, didn't you think you had the world by the tail? Actually, I thought at least I didn't, nobody else had my world by the tail anymore. I wanted to get out of the house real bad, and I did. That was my goal. It worked. I got away from home. I wanted to be away from home. There were other goals that would have been a little more lofty, but that's the one I had. But I thought I could do anything I wanted to do, especially in America. You're told you can do anything you want to do. And the enemy's sitting back there. That's right. Do anything you want to do as long as you ignore the drawing of the Spirit of God. Huh? And people don't. People with lots of money, people with no money, people who are famous, people who are infamous, it doesn't matter. They can do anything they want as long as they're following the course of this age. Because our job is to say, no, there is a transfer. But it's not a transfer, so now you get to stay the same and go to heaven. No, you get to have heaven affect you here so we can affect this world with the power of the age to come. Isn't that right? And so, and it's an event. Jesus went through the event, boom, right in front of their eyes. It does happen to people. Paul on the road to Damascus kind of went through a little, wow, are you kidding me? I'm sure he thought that, are you kidding me? But it's also this thing of the Holy Spirit using the Word of God over time to change us from the inside. because of the increase of his kingdom, of his government, of his economy, there is no end. And he'll keep changing us right on out. I'm past 40 now. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to shock you. That's what I used to tell people when I was 49. They say, how old are you? I'm barely 40. Well, I was almost 50. So, see, it doesn't matter how long we live, because the continuum of him working in us is to connect us with the power to the age to come. Now, see, that sounds rather ethereal, but see, spiritual things aren't they? Spiritual things are real, but they're subjectively real. But Paul wouldn't have gone to all this trouble writing what he wrote. Jesus wouldn't have gone to the effort to say the things he said. And we wouldn't have the witness of all the New Testament, which is the Holy Spirit makes the difference. And I see this all the time. I've fought it my whole life. Why does transformation happen to some people and not to others? I'm just being honest. I've wrestled with the Lord on this a whole bunch. And I realize it's like sanctification. It's an event and it's a process. But I've been into the process for a long time. I probably ought to be showing up a little better than I am. You know? I mean, my ability to cooperate and be a co-laborer with him should be a lot, should be advanced beyond where it is. But a lot of Christians aren't even aware that this is an issue. I'm telling you, this is the issue. This is what he came for. Now listen to me. He said in 1 John, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. I don't know how good you are at that. I was better at cooperating with the works of the enemy. I'm not good enough to get rid of the works of the enemy. But greater is he that's in me. Right? Isn't that what it says? Well, you know what? I don't feel greater a lot of the time. Oh, not greater some of the time. But I'm telling you, it's the Word of God. So am I going to believe in my behavior, or am I going to believe in what the Bible says? So I have to say, okay, you say, greater is he that's in me. You know what he means when he says that? He means that this enemy who had this domain over everybody, this authority over everybody, doesn't have it over you once you're transferred. And the enemy has lots of power. He has no authority, which means authority is the right to use power. We have both. Yeah. We have power and we have the right. We're authorized, credentialed to use it. But we don't believe it. Why else would we be called ambassadors for the kingdom? Ambassadors are credentialed. They're appointed. They have position. They have authority. They can't even get parking tickets. I mean, you know, in the natural realm, it's a big deal. But the natural speaks of the spiritual. We really do have the opportunity by the power of the age to come to change this culture, to change the age in which we live. Now, that culture is going to go on right along. I mean, that's never going to stop till the Lord comes back, right? But you know what? We can raid his camp. We can pray. And we can live in such a fashion that we draw people out of that kingdom and into this one. That's our job. That really is our job. We are supposed to be those who, by having tasted the power of the age to come, I won't use names. I lent someone a book on spiritual gifts, and they gave it back to me yesterday in the prayer meeting. And she's kind of, you know, I want to talk to you a minute. I said, okay, that'd be great. She, after the prayer meeting, something happened to her during the prayer meeting. She said, this book mentions the word unction. I was going to ask you what unction is. And I said, and then it happened to you. She said, exactly. It was really cool. And see, we'll just talk about this again the next time. We'll just talk about this the next time. I did this on purpose today, using Ezekiel 36. Moffat's translation of this is so good. He's taken the hard spirit out of us and put in us a spirit that can be touched. You know what? I was with a person some years ago. He pastored a church of about 3,500 people. And he got up in front of everybody. There were probably 40, 50 pastors in this retreat. And he said, I pastor a church of this many people, and I don't think 2% of them have had a genuine encounter with the Spirit of God. So I'm not saying they're not saved. But what, you know, that life-changing, life-altering. And so we spent the rest of the day just praying that. I thought, what a humble guy to say that. And that was 20, 25 years ago. And I don't think the statistics have radically changed. But you know what? He's put a spirit in you that can be touched. I don't know about you, but I've got a deal on my phone that once I've opened up something, I can go there. It'll automatically put my email in as my password, as, you know, as my identity. All I got to do then is put my thumb on the on button, and I'm in. It's just one touch, and I'm in. Because I've authorized it, I've opened it, and I never have to go write it down again. I can just push that button, and I'm automatically on the page I need to be. That's what I saw when I read that verse, that we have a spirit that can be, I'm sorry, touched. You see what happens? It's been authorized by the owner and to make that one touch, and poof, you're in. The app is open. And everything it has is yours. I'm telling you, we have a spirit residing in us. This is where whereby we need not be taught by any man. There's an anointing that abides within us. And he's looking to touch us. He is looking just for the owner's touch. What happens then? Whatever he has written in the scroll of the book. The adventure that is Christianity, we're missing a lot of it. We're missing a lot of it. How many of you like mysteries? They're kind of cool, except I like to know the end first. Then it's not really a mystery anymore. The Christian life is full of mystery. It is. Yeah, I mean, people ask me sometimes, well, how do you know what you're going to say when you get up there? Well, because he told me to get up there. I don't always know everything in advance. You know, you just don't. That's how it works. But if he puts you there, you have to trust in the fact that he's placed you there and something good will happen. Right? I mean, right? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? I'll quit here. I quote Dallas Willard, been teaching one of his books. And he says, he's learned that discipleship is not an end, it's a means. Because what God is trying to do with every person who names his name, who has the Spirit of God living in them, is that he's trying to develop an inner character in us that will allow him to share his power with them. Isn't that good? So what do you mean, transformation? I mean, could we find ways to pursue the Lord and cooperate with him so that he's free to entrust us with the expression of his power? And it's not always healing and deliverance. Sometimes it's joy or compassion or kindness, but it's who he is. It's his himness in us that he wants to be able to express. Isn't that wonderful? And so all of the means of discipline are wonderful, but they're not an end. The end is, am I being changed from the inside out? I'm mortal, but I don't have to be mere. Hello? That's pretty good, isn't it? And so we want the ongoing work of the Spirit of God in us to produce that newness of life so it can reproduce that newness of life. And I'm thinking about maybe going to my 50th high school reunion. 50th from kindergarten, you know. And on the one hand, I don't really know how to act there. Most of those people I haven't seen for 50 years, you know. And they don't know me. They know, I went back on my 25th anniversary because I'd never gone. And I wanted to apologize to two ladies. Don't ever do that. Bad idea. Doesn't work. I was trying to be holier than God, and it didn't work. We'll just say it didn't work. And but, you know, maybe that's an opportunity to go express newness of life. Possible. I'm arm wrestling over that one. But I want you to know that it would be wonderful if we messed up people's thinking by the way we lived. Right? I mean, messed up people's thinking by how transferred we are because of an ongoing transformation. And you know what? When that's happening, you kind of forget you used to live like that. And those things aren't really options anymore. The darkness things. Just like a person who was born into darkness, doesn't appreciate the darkness, doesn't really realize they're under it, doesn't realize they're being guided by it. Man, we can't have that attitude. We cannot have that disposition in the kingdom of God. We've got to know that he sees us as children of light, trying to learn what's pleasing to God, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. But we're born of light, born again. We have an inheritance with the saints. This isn't all there is. It's not. There's more and better, more and better, more and better. Stand with me if you will. Lord, thank you for being with us this morning. Life in the kingdom is life with the King, under his lordship, under his authority, joined to him, one spirit with him. And so, Lord, thank you for the reality of the transfer that you give us. And now, Lord, I pray that you would transform our thinking, even about being transformed, and we would learn how to cooperate with you. Now it's late, we've been here, and we need to quit. So do me a favor. Would you put your hand on your heart or your solar plexus or just whatever? This is how we're going to close. Holy Spirit, I really did believe you spoke this morning several times in several ways. But I'm asking, Lord, that you would touch us in this moment with a touch that continues to resonate. That we would, when we worship or when we are in your presence, that we would sense the touch of God, and that you're nudging us, moving us in a transformative fashion, so we don't live in this mortal world as mere men and women, but as those who have been enlightened, delivered, and have tasted the power of the age to come and live in it. In Jesus' name, amen.